One of the most enduring images we have of the barbarian invasions is that of a horde of hairy, scantily clad, animal-like warriors racing on horseback and on foot into the streets of sophisticated and civilized Rome on their way to a good old-fashioned sacking. The violence and the swiftness of the attack foreshadowed little good for the inhabitants, let alone the civilized classical world as a whole. Basically, everything that represented human progress up to that point was suddenly torn down and left for dead. The pillaging and the plundering was thorough. The destruction was total, and darkness reigned in the ensuing centuries. And it's been a very hard vision to remove from the minds of our collective memories. The word barbarian to this day means backwardness and crass behavior. So what could you expect from a whole tribe of people like that? Well, in part, we have a somewhat forgotten painter from a small town in the region of Madrid to thank for it. His name was Ulpiano Checa, and he was born in Colmenar de Oreja, a quaint town with a fantastic main square about 45 minutes to the east of Madrid. Checa was a fairly known artist in the day, but his legacy has not held up as well as others. All the same, his works were very popular around Europe in the latter half of the 19th century. There is a very nice museum honoring his paintings in the town of Colmenar itself, so definitely pay a visit and check it out. One of the most famous paintings he ever did, one that has survived to this day, a canvas with the unambiguous title of Invasion of the Barbarians. It's a kind of post-romantic depiction of the historic moment. And it has been printed and reprinted for generations and thus helped etch that somewhat erroneous idea in our heads. Now, regardless of overly active imaginations, the fact is the next era of Spain's long history did indeed involve the appearance of many Germanic tribes and peoples known popularly today as the barbarians. Their incursion into the peninsula isn't unique if you think about it. In fact, for the larger part of the first 10 episodes of this series, we've discussed wave after wave of peoples, tribes, cultures, and whole civilizations from abroad coming into this land and adding their grain of salt. The prehistoric communities, the Bronze Age cultures, the Celts, the Iberians, the Phoenicians, the Greeks, the Carthaginians, and finally the Romans. Maybe it was the fact that the Romans held on for so long and actually set this land on the steadiest track it had known to date, gave us the feeling that this was somehow the way life had always been. But the fact is, this tendency for people from abroad to come in and take over is a kind of tradition here. And the waves of Germanic peoples were just the next in line, and they wouldn't be the last. Now, the way this is traditionally told in Spain is that Hispania was first invaded by three different tribes or peoples, the Alans, the Vandals, and the Suebi, and then finally dominated by the Goths or the Visigoths. This is a fairly accurate summary for one sentence, but let's look at it in more detail. 406 CE is a fateful year in the history of Rome because that was when numerous tribes, numerous peoples crossed the Rhine River up in Germany, traditionally located at the town of Mainz near Frankfurt, and they began to head west and southward. Apparently, this took place on December 31st. Of that year, so I guess it was sort of a New Year's resolution to take over the Roman Empire. And to encroach that divide was to send a clear message to the Emperor of Rome, who was a man named Honorius. The delicate state of the empire meant that the tribes could pretty much do as they pleased as they searched for better climates. 3 years later, in 409, they would enter Hispania essentially unopposed. Apparently the first to arrive were the Suevi, a tribe from central Germany and the Czech Republic. They invaded Hispania, I said, in that year, 409. It was the perfect time because Hispania was not under the emperor's direct control. A couple of usurpers had taken command, and this power vacuum made it easy for the incursion to take place. Once in Hispania, the Suevi continued their journey until they pretty much could go no further. They settled in the northwest of Hispania in a place called Galicia, as it was known back then, and basically present-day Galicia and northern Portugal. And from there, they would start to form a state, eventually known as the Kingdom of the Suevi, and they would enter into the Roman apparatus as a kind of federal state. They were one of the first to do so. Though their legacy doesn't appear to have been that great on the surface, one thing is for sure, the Suevi were the most successful group of all the invaders after the Visigoths, obviously. In 416 to 420, the Suevi resisted the Visigoths' campaign to rid Rome of the barbarians in Hispania. The fact that the Visigoths were actually helping the Romans may surprise some of you, especially when you think that they had sacked Rome just a few years earlier in 410. But remember that the history of the Goths as a barbaric tribe is generally quite different from the others. They often acted as allies of the Romans, as was the case here. This odd relationship dominated Rome's policies for decades. Anyway, the Suevi survived that attack from the Visigoths, and they did not go anywhere. In fact, they grew larger, first under a king called Ricilla, who from 438 to 448 conquered well over half the peninsula. He would be succeeded by his son Reciar, who would further expand until 455 when the kingdom had reached its maximum extension. That was the year Reciar was defeated by the Visigoths and the Romans, which wouldn't put an end to the kingdom, but basically things would never be the same. And then there were a series of military setbacks, and then the ruling class had inner fighting, and that would cause the kingdom to kind of ebb and flow for many years. After that, the Suevi converted to Christianity, but that was a very complicated issue, which I'm going to have to tell you about in a different episode. There were lots of different groups of Christians, and that was the source of many conflicts during this period and would complicate matters for them for nearly 100 years. In addition to that, the Suevi never really had a firm hold on their occupied territories. The northwest, as we said, Galicia and the north of Portugal, was their only true stomping grounds. Finally, in 585 CE, they succumbed to their biggest rivals, the Visigoths, but that still means 150 years of existence, so it can surprise many that so little is mentioned about them. Apparently, there are some words in Portuguese and Galician, which scholars believe are of Suevi origin, and a number of towns and villages seem to have gotten their names from these people. The other two tribes played a much smaller role. The Alans penetrated the peninsula about the same time and came to dominate a stretch of land from sort of the southeastern part of Spain up toward the middle section and over to Portugal. The Alans had a very different origin. In fact, to call them Germanic isn't even remotely accurate. They originated apparently in either ancient Iran or the steppe area to the northeast of the Black Sea, and sort of slowly made their way westward over the centuries. This was accelerated by the expansion of the Huns to their east, and they joined the Suevi and the Vandals in their crossing of the Rhine in 406. Their presence in Hispania was very short-lived. They created a kingdom in 412, but were defeated just 6 years later by the Visigoths. They managed to hang on for another 10 years or so, but then they packed up and moved to North Africa along with the Vandals in 429. Now, I've only mentioned the Vandals in passing up to this point, but they too entered Hispania, as I said, at the same time. This is obviously a more familiar name to most people. It's also where we get the word vandalism from. They are said to have come from Northern Europe, I think up in Scandinavia, possibly the Baltic area. As I was saying, they crossed the Pyrenees in 409 and settled in two very different places. There are sort of two sub-tribes of the Vandals. One was the Hastings, who went up into the Galician area, the northern Portugal, Galicia. And the others were the Silings, who were down in Bética, sort of Andalusia, which would have been like Seville, Cordoba, and all that area. The Hastings survived there for a few years, but then they were defeated in 418 by the Suevi, who were helped by the Romans, and then they moved down south and joined their brethren, so to speak, in Bética. And they, along with the Silings, sort of clashed with the Romans for the next 10 years, winning some, losing others. And then they departed for North Africa, where they would set up a kingdom whose capital was the ancient city of Carthage. Remember Carthage? I haven't talked about that place in quite some time. In any event, we are talking about the arrival and departure of several foreign peoples who established themselves for a very brief, quite often violent 20 years, and then moved on almost as quickly as they came. What did that leave Hispania with? Well, the Suebi, as I said, who were still hanging around up in the northwest. Then you had the Hispano-Romans and the Roman Empire, which made it until 476 CE. And even when it disappeared, that doesn't mean the population did. And then you had the increasing population of the Visigoths. And finally, along the northern coast, the very top of the country, you still had your Cantabrians, your Asturians, and your Basques, who persevered just the way they always had. Most of the invaders from other places left them alone. Anyway, the Visigoths would play a greater and greater role here. Most of this story is for another podcast, but we might as well talk a little bit about this and mention how they got there. They were originally from Scandinavia, and they were one of the first to invade the Roman Empire. This took place in 376, and they immediately occupied parts of Italy. Early on, they had fairly good relations, but not perfect. They would lay siege to Rome in 408 and eventually take and sack the city in 410 under their leader, Alaric I. Despite the rotten reputation the Goths have had over these centuries, by the time they had overtaken Rome, they had already had a long-standing relationship with the Romans and in many ways had become Romanized themselves. The Emperor Honorius, based in Ravenna, which was the capital of the Roman Empire then, soon made an agreement with them as he sought their help in bringing Hispania under control. There were dissidents known as usurpers disobeying orders. Then you had the Alans, the Suebi, and the Vandals staking their claim to much of the peninsula, and the Western Empire was on the verge of collapse. So the Visigoths moved north into the south of France. They consolidated their power there, and they eventually invaded Hispania. In 418, the ruler Wallia soundly defeated the Vandals and the Alans. And as we know, these two people would eventually leave Hispania 10 years later. The Visigoths would continue a status of sort of a federated nation with the Roman Empire and would spend the next few decades sort of enjoying periods of more autonomy and then less autonomy depending on the circumstances. Once the Western Roman Empire collapsed in 476, they cemented their position as an independent kingdom. The capital was Toulouse in the south of France, but as pressure rose from friction with the Franks, the situation there became unsustainable, and the center of rule would eventually relocate to Hispania, first in Barcelona and finally in Toledo, which is just south of present-day Madrid. This was in 542 CE, and it would become the capital of the Visigoth kingdom. The Visigoths would establish themselves here and become the next major power to influence the direction of Spain's history for the next two centuries. But before that, they still had a few matters to iron out. The Suebi kingdom was still around and wasn't dissolved until 585 CE, and the Byzantines, believe it or not, under Justinian I, in a fairly earnest effort to return to the glory days of Rome, tried to reconquer the old Western Empire and actually managed to occupy large stretches of the southern coast of Spain. And they would pester the Visigoths for several decades before disappearing. So anyway, like any period of transition, this bit of history is somewhat confusing, somewhat messy. But to summarize, the Germanic tribes came and stayed during the collapse of the Roman Empire, but most eventually disappeared without too much impact. After about 150 years, only the Visigoths would emerge as the supreme force in Hispania, and their presence would certainly have a big impact. But because that is a long and fairly complicated history, we will stop here and focus on them more in depth next time. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and Castos. And if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, click on our PayPal donate button. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts, you can check us out at Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.